This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
I'm Vinny Branch.
Our producer is Christian Wong. What time is it? 12:33, coming up to 12:34. We have an FBM KLCI update, courtesy of Arvind Yuvaraj.
Mm-hmm. The expert, you forgot that part.
I did, yeah. The expert, Arvind Yuvaraj.
Yeah, so FBM KLCI is up by 0.37% by 1,593 points. Active stocks include Vortex Consolidated, Ala Maritime Resources, and Sapura Energy. And then a quick look at the ringgit. It's at 4.06 against the US dollar.
Wow. He's getting better each day, right?
Yeah. I love this new style.
We'll have him reading the news next time. There'll be something interesting.
Why not?
Why not?
All right.
So last night, I just finished the second season of Lost in Space. No spoilers. It's good. Go watch it. With that in mind, you've got a story about infinity and emotionally beyond.
Yes. So it's about space travel. And you know, like how everyone knows that space travel is tough.
That's why I gave you a segue about being lost in space, Arvind.
Uh-huh. Oh, bing!
He's still in his investor
the
mode.
The expert.
Yeah. You have to dial the click. Okay, so What was I saying? Yeah, so everyone knows that space travel was tough. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it. Like, everyone would be going to space. That's why you have to be in, like, peak physical and emotional, like, mental health.
Mental health. Yeah,
mental
clearly.
Health. Yeah, yeah. You have to be alert of what other people are saying. But then, even then, when you're up there and when you're locked in the same space, the same place, same people, same routine for weeks or months, it can put a strain on your emotional health. That's why, according to MIT Technology Review, to survive the mental challenges that future astronauts will face, researchers are developing emotional support robots to help human space travelers cope with being isolated for so long. So these will be like AI assistants that will be able to intuit human emotion and respond with empathy. They'll also be able to intervene if their mental health is at stake. So apparently this could be life-saving when humans choose to explore deep space. At the moment, astronauts on the International Space Station have a robot called Simon with a C to interact with. But according to NASA, it lacks proper emotional intelligence. Rude. But that's why they are working on a more sophisticated support companion that can control the spacecraft and also track members' behaviors. And the bots will be able to have like more complex conversations and communications, basically like one of those like support droids that you see in like sci-fi movies and stuff that are able to talk to you so that you're able to bounce ideas with them and tell them how you're feeling. And they'll be able to help the astronauts sort of get through like very long processes and very long time in space.
Yeah. So like, you know, I was at CES last week and there are a lot of this kind of robots that was on display, right? So a lot of these robots, they are basically emotional support robots. So they you know, like Lovot was the one that I mentioned, right? So it's like this really cute little you know, mini Teletubbies with like flaps, with like creepy looking eyes and a camera on top of it. But it's really cute that it makes you, you know, it wants cuddles, it wants to, like, you know, sort of give you hugs and stuff. So it understands human emotions and gives empathy to a certain degree. And then there's the extreme ones like Neon. So that's the artificial human. So this is taking bots to the next level where you create an entire human being. You know, everything's generated, the face, the eyes and the shape of your nose, your jawline, everything is artificial and it's life size projected onto a screen. And this, you know, artificial human acts like a real human. It's, you know, it recognizes you, and if you had like a bad day, you know, it will talk to you in a manner that will keep you, I guess, you know, feeling like, you know what, it's not too bad. It'll keep you at least inspired. So one of the examples that we're giving is like, you know, you would have these artificial humans at the front desk of like, you know, a doctor's waiting room, for example. So, you know, if you, let's say you go in there for a checkup, and, you know, once you go in for a checkup, it will be the usual happy, like, you know, welcome to doctor so and so and so, how can I help you? You register to yourself, you go into the room, you get your results, you do all the tests, you get your results. If let's say the results are not so good, the next time when you do a follow-up visit the week after, it will then recognize and go like, you know, hi, you know, like, how have you been? How's, you know, things like? And it'll ask you things that will take you away from the worries that it has, because it understands that last week you had a bad result. So, you know, it does this kind of empathy. One of the questions that, like, you know, I have for this is, like, why don't we just create robots like, you know, the BB-8 that we've seen in Star Wars and stuff, right? Because they don't need to be human-like or lifelike in the sense of the appearance, because we just need to resonate with something that we can interact with. And just look at how, you know, Baby Yoda, for example, or BB-8, that don't really speak the language that, you know, we speak to, but yet there is like an emotional connection to this, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine if they could, like, and I trust this because this is like the Japanese Association of Astronauts are the one who's trying to like do something like this, right? So, you know, trust the Japan culture to create something that could be lifelike, could be human-like, or it could just be like a robot. But, you know, somehow we've got this emotional connection to it. I'm just worried that, you know, why? So I spoke about this with Matt on the show earlier on, and, you know, we brought a good point in the sense that, you know, since we're going to send these robots that already have emotional connection and empathy and stuff, why don't we just send them to do the work instead of sending a human to go along with? You know, we could just sort of like, you know, get the human to be here on planet Earth and then sort of like have a mirror image of what they're seeing in space. But the worry is that then these robots that have emotional connection may need emotional support as well, right?
To help them.
Because we've all seen what happened to Marvin on The Hitchhiker's Guide to Galaxy.
I mean, it's fine, but sending a robot is fine to do it. But at the end of the day, you know, human nature is to explore, is to go to places that we've not been. You know, we need that, oh, I've been there, I've done it kind of thing. Yeah. That's why you share holiday photos with your friends and whatnot, you know? But I've got BB-8 and both Baby Yoda written down on this piece of paper
C-3PO.
Here. And C-3PO. You know. C-3PO, not so much. He becomes a little bit annoying over time.
R2-D2.
You know? Yeah, R2-D2.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine. R2-D2. And the reason that is because you can look at them almost like a pet, you know, in the way that your pet communicates with you on a level that you kind of understand one another to a degree, but you don't need to understand necessarily everything about what they're thinking and what they're doing, and that's okay. You know, you know that R2-D2 might need an oil change in the same way that you might know that your cat needs an extra bit of food or your dog needs to go out or anything, and that's kind of enough in an emotional connection on that level. And I think were I trapped in space for an extended period of time, I'd prefer to have a cat or a dog more likely than I'd prefer to have another human being, because at some point that other person is going to get on my nerves and be like, can you just get out of my space?
Especially in a small space.
Especially in a small space.
Also, we generally have emotional connections to machines. I'm talking specifically about cars. And you don't have to be a petrol head or, you know, car lover. Generally, people do have an emotional connection with their car. You know, like I remember when, you know, my mom was having an old Honda, and, you know, it was giving a lot of problems. And it was giving a lot of problems when we were thinking of buying a new car. And, you know, when my mom always my mom was the one, like, she doesn't have an emotional connection with the car, but she was saying, like, oh, probably the car is just upset that we're talking about, you know, buying a new car. And then go like, my mom has this emotional connection that we generally do have. We take care of our car. We do the oil change and stuff. Audrey actually sent in a message and she said that she's totally agreeing with, I guess, me and you here, in the sense that, like, look at just how many people who treat their robot vacuums or the Roombas like their own pets. They don't need to look like humans. They just need to be less creepy. That's very, very true.
Exactly. And if you have an image of another human face, you know, all of those thoughts when you're on your own, you know, and you're looking across and there's that semi-human face. Your brain does strange things. You don't necessarily feel that a cat or a dog is creepy.
Speaking about
3 a.m. in the morning.
So speaking about creepy, the ultimate goal of this project is to complete something called Fiona the Future. It's an emotionally intelligent cross-platform system that's not confined to a physical robotic body. Instead, it's more like software that will be digitally integrated into space stations and installed on surfaces like Mars and beyond. Does this sound familiar? Like a voice?
I'm sorry, Arv. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Aris just sent in a message. It could be something like Joy in Blade Runner.
That's an entirely different thing. Yeah, that is true. We'll talk about that offline. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about I Spy with my little app, or the Human Screen Home Project. Are you okay with somebody taking a screenshot of your phone every 5 seconds, uploading it to a server and knowing everything that you do on your mobile phone. In the name of science, of course. Do let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. A short break and some music from the Raconteurs. Help Me, Stranger. We'll be right back with our final story of the day. Smize on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.